Hey, Jay, I got something to host. Where do I host it?
Why, on HostGator, of course. They offer 99.9% uptime and have 24/7, 365 customer support.
Wow, if only I can kick back some of that money to my favorite gaming podcast, Blood and Barrel.
Not only can you do that, but you can save yourself some money in the process.
Tell me how.
Use the checkout code EBPODCAST9 and save 25% off your first order.
Wow, and I still hate you.
I counted with math from 2006, and I added 10. That's 2016.
Yeah.
So if the PlayStation 4 comes out this year, well, that's not a 10-year life cycle.
They'll keep selling
that's
it for
lies.
Like...
Lies. Liars.
They'll sell it for three more years and say it was a 10-year cycle.
Hey, AJ. I'm Sony.
Are you?
Yes. Remember when I said that we were going to wait for Microsoft to announce their system first?
Yeah, what did you do in that
situation? I lied. Yeah,
that's a high five.
AJ likes it. Hope everyone, if we don't get that, that's... I don't know if anybody remembers Force Unleashed, but there's a point where, like, Darth Vader basically, like, reveals his actual plan to you, and, like... whatever, Force Unleashed spoilers now. You're not... you think you're going to take down the Emperor with them, but it turns out he's not. You're not. He's going to kill you instead.
Bless you.
It's a very long intro, but then... and then you're like, oh, you said we were going to kill the Emperor. He's like, I lied. Luis says it was really funny. All right, let's go. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 31st, 2013. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
How goes it?
Good.
Good. So we got, there's some news.
What kind of news? I got a lot of news, actually.
I'm looking forward to our week in gaming, because I can talk about Fire Emblem, finally. I can also talk about Ni No Kuni.
Ooh.
So that would be exciting. I don't care what you've been playing. Then we'll get to, we'll talk
about... mystery.
Yeah. See what's going on in our Google Plus community, then we'll get to the releases. So let's get going. What's the news?
PlayStation has something to tell us on February 20th.
And it's like, and it's coinciding with an event that people have been invited to.
It's called PlayStation 2013. The teaser video is just like the PlayStation face buttons in various colors that coincide with those face buttons. They're going to announce a new PlayStation, I think.
They have to. What else could it be?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
Anything less than that is a huge disappointment now.
It's like, it would be comical how disappointing.
Yeah, they'd come out like, oh, we announced the next round of Instant Game Collection for the PlayStation Plus. What?
What? Xperia Play 3.
The Vita Mini.
That's interesting, though. So it looks like, unless Microsoft comes out of nowhere, they will announce before Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's really weird to me that we're going to see a PlayStation 4 in a month.
Yeah, that's a weird
thought.
That's
really weird.
Less than a month.
It's weird how the PlayStation 3
less than three weeks.
Has been around longer than the PS2 was before it got replaced, but it still doesn't feel like
it
that.
It has?
Yeah. The PS2 came out in 2001, got replaced in 5 years. Or 2000, so 6 years. And this is, what, seven?
Into the seventh, so yeah.
Yeah, it's longer. It's weird.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't feel that old to me. I don't know why.
I feel like that guy in those meme photos where he's looking the wrong way in the crowd with that surprise, like, I figured it out.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just weird that thing's going to be... I feel like I still haven't gotten my $600 investment return yet.
You play the Uncharted games.
I'm joking.
Come on, Mike Zors.
It'll be weird. Especially with, like, that... I mean... Because they'll have to have some games, too, right? So, maybe not. Is this... Like, what do you think they're going to show? Is it literally just going to be, like... PlayStation 4 was happening.
Well, this is what you try to figure out.
Are we going to see a box? Like the console itself? Are we going to see games? Are they going to play games at this event?
Well, this is what you try to figure out, because this was Nintendo's problem, I feel like, with their Wii U timing.
Yeah.
All their big teams, like, didn't have time to do anything. They all just shipped games.
Wii U had a lot of problems with the way they stagger announced it.
Yeah, well, but the point I'm trying to get to is, so we try to think, what Sony teams have been relatively quiet in the last couple of years?
Well, I told you, Naughty Dog is two teams.
Yeah.
So I fully expect that one of them is working on a PlayStation 4 Uncharted. Guerrilla Games is probably working on the next thing. Sucker Punch
Yeah, they've been quiet since Infamous 2.
Well, they're about to release Sly Cooper. That's why.
Oh, that's right.
I assume they're probably working also on something. Gorilla, blah, blah, blah. Insomniac is now working on Fuse. So
which got delayed.
Yeah, so they're not really... I guess they're not really a Sony thing anymore. That's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like... I almost wish that they would just make Ratchet and Clank games.
Ratchet and Clank.
Instead of, like, doing other things while they have these, like, weird offshoot studios make bad Ratchet and Clank spinoffs, like All for One and that weird tower defense thing that no one likes. Yeah. I don't know. IGN actually did this. Like, they went through all the possible Sony studios and said, what are they probably working on?
Oh, yeah.
And there are a lot. They're in better shit than, I say, Nintendo was. I'm sure, though, they can have a decent launch. I don't know if are we really going to have Uncharted 4 at launch this like year.
Pretty awesome.
It'd be awesome. Could you imagine? I don't know.
Coming this fall. And then you just see Michael just dead on the floor.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because, I mean, we have some high-profile PlayStation games still coming. Last of Us, specifically.
Yeah. Well, Last of Us, there's a new God of War coming out pretty soon.
Even that God of War almost feels like an afterthought. And it's like, oh, let's get one or more of these out.
It does, in a way.
You know, yeah, it's...
I mean, it could be amazing, but yeah.
Pretty cool, yeah. Yeah. There's that game by the, with Ellen Page, the Ellen Page simulator.
Quantic Dreams something.
That game, yeah. Maybe that's a PlayStation 4 game now, who knows. But, I do wonder if we're going to see games. Or
Metal Gear.
Which one, Metal 5 Gear. Or Ground
Either
Zeroes?
Either one.
Is Ground Zeroes going to be a current gen game?
They haven't said, but I'm fairly confident.
At this point, I would feel like, yeah, it's weird. At this point, like, why would it be?
It could be. We might get like we did with this gen launch, where you have like the same game coming out on both consoles,
right? And it kind of like looks a little better. Well, it's weird because even like at least last time there was a noticeable difference, just like because it was in HD or not. This time it's like how much better is it? If the game is made for PlayStation 3, if you port it over to PlayStation 4, how much better is it going to look?
It's going to be subtle stuff. Like, okay, remember the Watch Dogs video trailer E3? Remember how when that guy, like, crossed the street by an alley, and as he walked, the wind blew his coat?
Yeah.
That won't happen in the PlayStation 3 version. I know it's subtle, but...
It's weird, though.
That's also something you notice, though, when you watch that trailer.
Yeah, that's kind of all that I'm really... That's, like, all we're kind of getting. With this kind of like new generation in a way,
like you say it like that, and I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, like yeah, I kind of want that.
I guess I do too. I guess I don't know. I'm just not.
It's the difference between Battlefield 3 on a high end PC and Battlefield 3 on a console.
It's weird. I know, but it's like I look at stuff like The Last of Us and other things like that. Like I played the Metal Gear Rising demo. Like outside the cutscenes, like I'm playing that. It looks really good. I'm cutting things apart. I think the technology is really good still.
But
like,
you know what that game did do that you pointed out?
What?
You stand by a wall and your sword's going through the wall. Maybe we start fixing that shit.
I'll tell you what. If they actually fix clipping, I'll be excited, but I bet they won't.
Next gen feature. No more clipping.
Yeah, I bet they won't. there's just something really weird about this next console generation that's still hard for me to perceive. I guess I have to see it to get it.
Yeah. And one of the things, too, neither of us have a super high-end gaming PC right now, too. When you read reviews of people playing games like Far Cry 3 and Battlefield 3 on, like, top-of-the-line gaming PCs, they all talk about how incredible it looks compared to the console versions.
I guess so. I guess it would be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do at this event exactly.
Yep.
All right.
Junction Point, the developer of Epic Mickey, fathered by Warren Spector, is kaput.
Yeah.
Closed by Disney. Can't say I'm surprised.
No, Epic Mickey 2 did not do well critically or commercially by count.
I know we keep saying this.
Well,
I can't figure out how they managed to screw that up.
It'd be interesting if we could go back in our entire archive and make like this clip of us like this
like,
Epic
from like way up here so excited to like that fucking figures ain't close.
Yeah. It is weird, especially for me, because like I went to two big Epic Mickey events.
Right,
I went to the big like preview event that was in
Disneyland
for the first one, and I went to the unveiling of Epic Mickey 2 in Austin, which it's kind of weird.
Epic Mickey 1, everyone pretty much agreed it's a cool idea. You need to refine it.
They didn't,
and
refine
they didn't
it.
Do that for 2. In fact, they added a co-op element that broke it even further.
Kind of like the last, yeah, you know, that really is the thing. It's like, it was the last thing that Epic Mickey 2 needed, really, was co-op.
Yeah.
Because it just made things more... It's weird, because I've never seen a game that be more hand-holdy and yet overly complicated than Epic Mickey 2.
I just don't understand how a world-class game designer like Warren Spector creates a game where it's like, there's two switches in the room. There's two of you. What do you do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Door won't open, though.
It's been kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Just in general.
My biggest disappointment is now we'll never get this Scrooge McDuck game he was talking about wanting to make.
That was going to happen.
I don't know. It was always a long shot.
I mean, it sucks, too, because it's like giving Disney the excuse to be like, yeah, arcade games aren't worth it, so we're just making
good ones. Yeah, we're just going to do Disney Infinity forever.
Right. Make good arcade games. It might be fun.
Yeah, I hate it when all the companies do this. It's like, well, this didn't sell well. It's like, well, it was crappy. Like, make something good, yeah. And when it doesn't sell well, like you can complain.
Just like a Medal of Honor, you see, like that, where they're
yeah,
like,
well, I have that in here. They're it's done. They're like, well, fans weren't really receptive to the realistic
shooting. The game was good, but it wasn't reviewed well. It didn't sell well.
Like, well, then we'll... No, quit... Yeah.
Something's off here.
Shut up.
I never saw a game that had less excitement for it than Medal of Honor, Warfighter, or whatever the hell it's called. So, but yeah, it's sad about Junction Point. I kind of feel for them, because, like, I, you know...
Yeah.
But should have made a better game. I don't know.
Yeah,
what else to say? Just, again, when it's, like, the caliber of, like, the leader, and it's a 600-person team...
That many people?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just don't understand.
But you took their picture.
Not all 600. I just don't understand why it didn't turn out better.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like Disney was, like... not supportive of the whole endeavor. Right. I mean, they created the voice and character of Oswald, and, like, that's now canon.
Yeah.
Anything else Oswald's ever in, it's always going to reference back to what they created for him.
Like I said, it should have been more.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Yep, next.
So you got lucky.
So.
But a lot of people didn't.
Oh.
With the Ni No Kuni Wizards Edition.
Looking at it right now.
It is. Lovely box. A lot of people who ordered it were just told, oops, sorry, there actually isn't one for you.
Yeah, we I guess they accidentally took too many orders.
So those people got a $20 off coupon for the game, and they're getting a free art book. But they're not going to get, like, the box, the soundtrack, the prints, the doll.
The book is the best. Because in the game, there's this really big Wizards campaign, it's called, and you get more pages of it as you go along. But it's a book, and you can read it digitally. But, like, I have the book now,
which is so awesome. That is that book?
Yeah.
Because that came with the DS version.
I guess that was, like, the whole reason why the DS version was never brought over here, because they didn't want to localize the book.
Well, they did now,
yeah.
Oh, weird.
But I feel like they're kind of caught off guard by how popular this game is.
Yeah.
They seem surprised.
The other issue with this whole thing was the eBay store Play Canada was able to order, like, 300 copies of this.
Yeah.
And then sell them for four times their value. And, like, you would think in a retail system that would go off as, like, a red flag. Like, oh, shut that down.
No. They were fine with it.
And their explanation was, well, that was at a time before we implemented a purchase limit. There was a time when you didn't?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they blamed it on the online retail system. I don't know. I mean, I guess they handled it the best way they could with, like, the coupons and the free art book, but at the same time, it's like, if you're going to do something like this, don't screw it up.
Can't they just make more?
That's what I kind of said.
There's clearly a market.
Like, you know, like, we'll send you the game now, and in, like, 4 or 5 months... We'll send you the box with everything else.
It's not like with fucking Halo Reach, remember when there was like a zillion extra collector's editions and they were like literally made like walls out of them in Best Buy and stuff. It was like kind of sad.
I thought I saw like a guy like in a little fort like and having a smoke break.
Like, after a while, they were literally marked down to like $60. Like no one cared.
Yeah.
I feel like this is probably going to be one of the more valuable. Because
it actually was rare.
Yeah, it's actually a collectible edition. Next.
Have you pre-ordered God of War Ascension yet, Mike?
No.
You should.
Why?
Comes with a demo for Last of Us. Well, I may have misworded. It doesn't come with it, but you'll get the demo first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like early access to the Last of Us demo.
I don't know. It's weird because I know...
Oh, Mike, you own Zone of Enders.
I know I probably will get Ascension at some point, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, actually. Because, honestly, like, Devil May Cry... And even Rising, they may kind of scratch that action game itch better than the fifth God of War game or whatever.
I'm in and I haven't tried it yet, but I have access to the multiplayer beta for this. I need to give it a shot.
Yeah, I guess I haven't tried that yet either, but it's hard to be excited about God of War Ascension.
Yeah, it's weird. There's no I mean, I'm sure it's going to be like a fine game, It's like, you got a war. There's been five of them.
Yeah,
they're all kind of the same.
Yeah, I know how good.
I mean, what else is there to do after God of War 3?
Every super memorable thing that happened in that series kind of happened in the first one. When I think about cool things that happened in God of War, I'm always thinking about things that happened in God of War.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Hydra. I'm thinking of that sword bridge.
Hydra, thinking about.
I mean, being on the back of Gaia at the beginning of 3 was cool, but.
That's cool. It's almost too cool. It's almost too flashy after a while. I don't know. I'm sure it's fine. It's just that. Next.
This probably doesn't really shock anyone, but Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD probably coming to America. The Jesse McCartney, the voice after Roxas, put up a twit pic of something.
There's a pic of him
recording.
Yeah, recording what appeared to be dialogue for the HD versions of the. The 300 whatever fucking days over 5 or whatever.
358 over 2. Come on, Mike. You're supposed to be a fan.
I played the game. I don't know what the hell it's called.
I didn't play, but I know what it's called. Weird. By our powers combined, we are information.
Yeah. Next.
Origins coming to Mac. Also the Frostbite engine.
Yeah, sweet. Frostbite on Mac? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway.
Why is it called Frostbite?
I don't know. They just need some clever name.
Because
EA uses it for everything now.
Well, sure, why not?
Okay, I think this is hilarious / pathetic. Sony is now doing a PlayStation Vita referral program.
I am not as outraged by this as
you are. I'm not outraged. I just think it's funny.
I don't think it's that weird, but go ahead. You're like, oh, this is so sad and desperate. Just a referral program.
It's like, get your friends to sign for Vita. We'll give you both $20, please.
I mean, a lot of people have referral programs. I know,
but not for $250 hardware.
Whatever.
Like, for video games, it costs $30.
Why do you think they're doing it? Because Vita sales are hurting.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, what? That's what it is.
I know.
I don't think it's funny. Sad.
All right. So remember when Kojima said that originally Gray Fox was supposed to be in Metal Gear Rising Revengeance?
That sounds a lot better.
Well, if you get it at GameStop, you get the Gray Fox skin for the game, which
if you
squint and pretend, maybe it's not as bad. Maybe they could put like a voice filter over Raiden so he sounds like Gray Fox.
When I played the demo again, like the fact that like the codec and like talking head loop.
It's just like a canned loop.
That's like 2 seconds long. That really kills me.
Yeah, I know. That's really, it feels really lazy
feels
in
really,
a weird
yeah,
way.
It feels very cheap.
Also, the fact that when you're in like the Kodak walk and talk mode, you know, like kind of like what Gears did where they go on the radio.
Exactly.
If you walk backwards, he does a walking forward animation.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it's nitpicky, but it's like, really?
Mm.
Really?
Just reverse the walk forward animation.
Yeah, how hard is that? Oh, are you curious to hear who Madden predicted to win the Super Bowl?
That's the Ravens.
Yes.
Well, we'll see then, I guess. If they've been right, like how...
Yeah, I don't know what their track record is.
I thought that had a track record. I can't remember.
Who knows? But does it account correctly for Ray Lewis's potentially injured arm? I don't know.
No.
Mass Effect 3 DLC is being teased with some screenshots. This is the one that, like, they were making a big deal about a few months ago where it was, like, all hands on deck.
Who cares?
As I know.
Who cares about
Mass Effect
3?
Mass Effect 3
DLC
was my game of the year last year, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it ended. Mass Effect 2 DLC, I was all over Mass Effect 2 DLC because it was bridging the gap between the games. Like, I'll get this stuff when, like, as I'm slowly playing through the 3 games on the Xbox, I might get the Mass Effect 3 DLC, so that's just there for when I play through it.
Yeah, but...
But, like, I have no desire to download this, load up my old save file with my Shepard who's... And, like, go through this all again.
Your Shepard is what? Oh, okay.
Yeah, not spoiler. I just mumbled it.
Yeah, no one cares.
You got the season pass to Guardians Middle Earth, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the new character?
Oh, no.
Radagast!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I need to pop that in, then.
I know, right?
That's
pretty
cool.
Cool.
That's cool, yeah.
He's the first of 4 to be coming. They haven't said the year, the 3 yet.
What kind of character is he? Is he a tactician?
Elementalist.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder what he looks like in that game.
Looks like the Hobbit version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I said, it's that weird. That game is a weird dichotomy. Like, sometimes it's right out of the movies, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And finally... Grand Theft Auto 5 has been delayed to September.
When was it supposed to come out?
Spring.
Oh.
I don't know. The usual, like, it'll give us more time to polish the game.
Sure.
I just kind of want to say they should have just said, like, it's tradition.
Yeah.
We put out a trailer with a vague season, and then we actually release it two seasons later.
Is that going to be kind of the last hurrah for this?
I think so.
Generation.
It'd be a good swan song for this gen, I think.
Like, if you care about Grand Theft Auto, sure. All right.
All right. So which one do you want to talk
Fire
about?
Fire Emblem, together we will defeat them. Swords cannot cut through the ties and bonds of friendship. Oh, field of glory, rise an epic story. Did you say rise an epic story?
I'm trying to sing along with you. I half know what you're going to say.
Fire Emblem's fucking great. Fire Emblem's awesome. It's like the best radio game.
I'm so jealous. Like, it's gonna come out Sunday. I probably won't be able to get to it right away, but I will, and I mean, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I played it for like last few weeks, really. I mean, it is awesome. I mean, it's weird because Fire Emblem games have always been good, and like, it's not that makes the Fire Emblem games good. It's still here, like the tactical combat. The whole, like, oh, your units die, they're dead thing. Although you can turn that off this time.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't. The difference is, like, the production values are kind of finally there now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the Game Boy Advance ones, they had that kind of neat retro look, like, you know, it was all pixel. And it was very good.
Yeah, it was very smoothly. And mm-hmm. Like I said, I've been tinkering with the Sacred Stones, the last GBA one mm-hmm. they did. And it, yeah, I mean, like, it still looks good, even though it's a Game Boy Advance game.
Mm-hmm. But, like, and then they did, like, they made the GameCube one, where, like, it wasn't even that good looking for a GameCube game. Then they made the Wii one, which basically just looked like the GameCube one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always kind of like,
I completely forgot those existed, too. Yeah.
It's like Fire Emblem's kind of like, it's not a big deal. It's franchise for Nintendo. You mm-hmm. know, it's like this cute little thing they released. But, like, they went kind of all out for Awakening. It just feels like a big, important game. Like, it looks really good. Like, it has, like, some, like you know, like, CGMA cutscenes that look really, really good.
Yeah, they're
then,
nice.
Like, even just, like, the actual character models that kind of have this nice, exaggerated look.
One thing I noticed, though, it's weird. Don't the characters' feet look weird?
Yeah, I was about to say, feet are really small.
Well, it seems like the feet were modeled in such a way so that they could just have the characters clip through the ground, and it would still kind of look like...
They just have really tiny feet.
It's weird looking.
It's weird. Yeah, that bothered me, too, that their feet were really small. I got over it. But and then, like, you know, when you're on the field, it is like, you know, every character is represented by that little kind of pixel thing that you move around the map. Yeah. But the cool thing, and I don't think this is the first time it's ever been done in the series, but the first time, at least in America, where, like, you can have... I think, like, in all of them, you have the thing where, like, characters can kind of grow relationships, you know?
Yeah.
By talking to each other. But, like, they can get married.
Right.
If they're, you know, compatible. Sorry, there's no gay planet in this one. You can't. It has to be a man or a woman. And, like, when you do that, like, the stat bonuses become really strong. And, like, it's not just that. For the first time, if you're next to a person, too, like, the other person might attack during the same turn also.
Mm-hmm.
They can defend you and stuff. So it's, like, really important, like, making sure your characters, like, kind of, like, build up these relationships with each other and kind of pairing them off appropriately. You can even have them occupy the same space. And you can only control the one, but, like, you get the stat bonuses.
Well, that was in the other ones. It was.
Well, that was a rescue, though, and you didn't really get the bonus from that. It was literally, like...
Oh, this guy's going to get killed. I don't have time to heal him. I'm just going to cover him.
Right, and like I said, that was called rescue. This is called pair-up. It's a very different kind of thing. Like, the strategy behind it is completely different.
Yeah, but you could still use it as a rescue.
Though, yeah, right? But I never really did.
It was more about ensuring that you got that social bond all the time.
Right, and, you know, it is a good way to protect a weak unit, too. Like, if you're trying to level them up or something, just put them with a stronger unit
okay.
or something like that. And also, some maps that are kind of small, it's a good way to save space, for instance. It's just so good looking. The music is awesome. The 3D is even cool. There's, like, part where, like, you know, you're just, like, on the map surveying, like, birds kind of flew by the top. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I read that in your review. I was like, oh, that's fun.
Right, exactly. And it's an epic thing, man. It takes place. It took about 30 hours to beat. There's, like, kind of all these different chapters and wars and stuff. It took place over a long period of time. The cool thing, too, is, like, you kind of make a unit yourself.
That is, like, I love that, and, by the way. And I love games that do that.
Well, it's cool, because, like, some games do that, but then, like, it feels like your character, like,
too blank a canvas?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we don't even know how to incorporate this person in the story because it's weird. This game does not do that. Like, your character is very important to the story.
Well, and this game's helped by the fact that it's not fully voiced. So, like, characters can say your name in a way, you know
right,
what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the only thing is, like, you're not in, like, the CG cutscenes because those are pre-render or whatever. But
yeah,
like,
and you do get to customize your character. Mm-hmm.
Right, but I mean, yeah, your character is a very important part. Like, your relationship with Crom is like the more traditional Fire Emblem main character. He's like a prince, and he's got Falchion, the sword. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the central thing with the whole story and whatnot. And like, your character can get married and stuff like that too. Getting married too has like a pretty cool consequence. I don't really want to say, but I mean, that's kind of the problem. Is like one of the coolest parts of the game kind of happens halfway through that I don't really want to talk about, but. It's pretty awesome. It leads up to it.
So excited,
and there's
for this
like
game.
So much like customization. And like even like the leveling's cool because like you use an item when you get to level 10, you use an item called Master Seal to get to an advanced class.
Mm-hmm.
But when you max that up, you stop earning levels, right? So it's okay. Like oh, you're done. But you can use another item called a second seal, which changes your class, and it brings you back to level 1. But your stats mostly stay the same. So you can really, there's no level cap, and you kind of keep adding stuff, you know?
Hmm.
And like, if you do, like, let's say, like, but if you switch from, like, oh, I was a healer, now I'm an archer, you can't use healing spells anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you have skills that you learn. Skills are kind of like passive buffs, and, like, you can equip 6 in any time, but you can keep learning them depending on what, like, class you are and stuff.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting, like, which ones you want to go from. Do you want to, like, keep staying ones that are kind of like healers? Like, maybe you, Like, I had one character who was, like, the healer. Like, Lisa, remember, Crom's sister.
Yeah.
So I started off, she was just a normal healer. Then when I advanced her, I made her a sage, which is a healer slash, like, you can use, like, the more attacking magic.
Okay.
And then when I recast her. You can if they are an advanced class, you can recast them as an advanced class as a troubadour or something. It's one that, it's a healing unit on a mount.
Okay.
So I lost the ability to use the attacking magic again, but my stats were a lot higher, and I was, like, all of a sudden really good at casting the healing magic.
And you were more mobile.
And I could fly.
Yeah.
So it's, like, stuff like that.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I want to play it so bad.
It was just awesome.
Like, I was playing that GBA one. I think I may stop now just because
right.
The real one's here finally. Like, it was kind of a good way to just kind of whet my appetite, and, you know, it was the delicious bread before the meal, I guess.
Right.
But yeah,
it's the best 3DS game I've played yet. It
wow.
is. It is. So it's just so much fun. It is engaging. I recommend playing on normal mode. I know you're saying you thought you want to. Don't.
Yeah, I'll start.
It gets pretty tricky. You are going to have to, I mean, you know, you call it grinding, but you're going to pick play some optional skirmishes and stuff like that. So you make sure. And I kind of play it like a No Man Left Behind style where if one of my characters dies, I restart.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I can't stand it. And sometimes, you know, there are consequences. Well, there are times where it's frustrating because I'm like 30 minutes into a game and one of my characters dies. I'm like, damn
well,
it.
Lost that time of my life.
I blew that, yeah. Just try again, I guess. And the ending's pretty epic, too. Like, the last engage. It is. It's good stuff. I can't recommend it more.
Cool.
The Ni No Kuni.
I was going to say, you want me to cut him in mine real quick and you could finish with that? Because mine's quick.
All right, what'd you play?
Well, first, very quick, that Ghostbusters game for the iPhone came out.
I forgot about that.
It doesn't suck. It's not the greatest thing, but it doesn't suck.
All right. What's it like? Give me a genre. What's it compared
to? Actually, you know that Borderlands game that came out that I said I didn't like that much?
Yeah.
Similar to that. There's
That's
basically three classes of Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
Attackers,
Busters.
Tanks, and healers.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you hold down on that particular buster and then drag a line to the ghost, and that's how you do your attacks, or drag from buster to buster to, like, buff.
Yeah.
And it's like the four main Ghostbusters are there as like senior advisors to the Ghostbuster franchise, and you're controlling all new hires.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, you know, you're it's like a free to play. It has like energy and shit like that, but it's actually pretty good. It has all the music from the movies and
it's cool.
Cartoony look that, you know, is caricatures of the characters mm-hmm. from the movies. So,
worst
ways to spend $0.
Yep.
The big thing I guess I played this week was the SimCity beta.
Oh, right.
This is going to be so fun.
I couldn't care less.
I know. It's going to be so fun. One thing, though, to play it on my laptop, I had to set, like, everything to the low. Which is weird, because SimCity has always kind of been more of, like, since it's more of a mainstream game, it's never really been taxing.
Even
on your computer, it put everything to medium.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I cranked everything up just so I could see, like, what it would look like as, like, a screenshot. Like, even though the frame rate chugged, it looks really cool. Because it does that tilt shift
mm-hmm.
effect to make everything look like it's, like, a miniature. And it just works really well. Like, when you zoom in, you can see individual Sims, like, leave their house, get in their car, drive to work. All that shit they've always been talking about wanting to do,
mm-hmm.
they're actually doing it now. Like, you can watch an entire Sim go through their day in, like, your simulated city.
Doesn't What's, excite me much.
Now, what you didn't get much of in the beta, but is going to be a big part of the game, is how, like, it does have to always be online because you are playing in an active region. So, let's say your city is downwind of a very industrial city, it's going to affect the air quality of your city.
Mm-hmm.
So you either have to, like, get your neighbor to knock it off or do something to counteract it. And then let's just say you have an excess of, you know, electricity from your solar farms. You can sell that to a neighboring city who maybe has, like, a kind of Las Vegas-style city set up with a lot of casinos, but they don't have a lot of industry, so you're supplying all of their utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of get this, like, almost MMO version of SimCity. Also, you can make curved roads for the first time. So that's exciting.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's
it's super cool. I liked it. It just SimCity, like, it's always just kind of like a nice, relaxed, like, kick back, just play this. You know, not too stressful. Fair enough.
I just never got into it.
Yeah. I always liked 4.
Can I talk about my magical adventure now?
Take us to the world of wizards.
I'm almost a little bit layered to it just because it took a bit for my copy to ship. So people have probably been hearing people going on about how awesome it is. But yeah, it's awesome. It's so, I mean, yeah, first off, it's beautiful. It looks so good. The cell shading, it's like the best cell shading since Wind Waker I've seen in a game. And like, when you get like the moments where it just like is like animated cutscene, like literally like traditionally 2D animation, it just looks like a Studio Ghibli film. Oh, that stuff's awesome.
That's actually done by Studio Ghibli, yeah. Right? That's mm-hmm. awesome.
That, yeah, it's
I mean, that'd be like if Disney Feature Animation did cutscenes for a video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Why does that never happen?
Yeah, it'd anyway. Be like instead of like those weird Flash looking things in Epic Mickey, like Disney just animated something.
Yeah.
But I mean, and like the music's done by the guy who does all the music for Studio Ghibli movies too. And the it's awesome. Kind of the worst. That's kind of the sad thing about the collector edition is this. Is like I thought I was getting a soundtrack. Instead, I got a special musical selection. Which it comes with like the two pretty good songs. Like the two songs from it are great. I just wish I got the whole thing. But the music is great. Like the overworld theme that they play, and even just walking around the overworld, like oh my god, it's so cool. And it's neat because it does such a perfect job of just slowly introducing all the elements of like the game. Because if it was it all happened at once, it'd be incredibly complicated.
Yeah, now, I still have to admit, I haven't read a whole ton about this game. I kind of went like quasi-media dark on it. So, if I'm right, it's kind of like a Pokemon-ish sort of thing going on.
It kind
of
is. And I just kind of got to the part where I could tame monsters to kind of be with me.
And out of curiosity, how long did that take?
About in the 8-hour mark can I do that. Yeah.
Okay.
And you don't need to do it for a while. Because, yeah.
So, if it's 8 hours before that happens, what's the rest of combat then?
Well, because for a while you just had a couple that like the game was doing out to you. So you're still having the combat.
You just weren't catching your own.
I just won't catch, yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And like, yeah, I'm almost wondering how complex it's going to be about. And they don't evolve, but they do like kind of have stages too. Mm-hmm. So it's almost
they
more
don't evolve, but they get stronger and change appearance.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, I was being facetious. Like that is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sounds like a whole thing to me.
The cool thing, you play as like the human characters, right? And you have three ultimately, but I have two right now. So, if you pick, like, the one human character, they have up to three of the... They're called familiars, the Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the familiars are stronger than you just about any time. But they have a stamina gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And if the stamina gauge goes down, they can't be used for a while. So, what you want to do is, before that goes down, you want to switch to either another familiar or just back to yourself. So, it's encouraging you to switch between them a lot, you know? It's like, Pokemon, sometimes you'll just have that one Pokemon that you use all the time because it's pretty strong.
Alakazam, yeah.
Yeah, like, this kind of discourages you from doing that. Plus, like, you know, again, it's like, it's not just about type. It's like, look, this is my melee guy. This guy uses spells. This is the, you know, healer or whatever.
So it's more about almost traditional RPG tropes than it is about elemental tropes.
You know what it is? It's almost like if Pokemon had actually been evolving its gameplay for the last 20 years, it might look something like Ni No Kuni.
Really?
Instead of just like...
I'm going to admit, I was I'm excited to play it, but now I just went...
Exactly. It's like, if Pokemon had actually been thinking, like, what should we do next? Instead of just releasing it for new systems and, you know, whatever, it might look like Ni No Kuni.
Are you, just out of curiosity, like, after we're done recording, are you in a position where you could just, like, grind and show me combat while I edit?
Maybe. I kind of want to go out, but I can maybe show you something.
Yay!
I'll show you a little bit, but, I mean, exactly. It is... It's a beautiful game, and it is fun. I mean, it is very deep and satisfying JRPG. Like, all you, and like, you know, it's just totally whimsical. All you need to know like about that. It is at one point there's a cat king who everybody formerly calls Meowjesty. Your Meowjesty.
Your Meowjesty.
Yeah, my Meowjesty, you know? And it, like, it can do that, and it's fine, you know? It's not angsty. If that's what turns you off about, like, what Final Fantasy has been doing lately, then Ni No Kuni is a shot in the arm.
Yay! We don't have to endure lightning for a million years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything kind of cheery. Like, your main sidekick is that drippy guy. He's got, like, this kind of, like, Scottish accent.
The guy with the
lantern on his nose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Scottish?
Yeah.
That's awesome!
It's pretty funny.
Have you looked at the voice cast? Is there anyone big in it?
I don't know if it's anybody big. It's a pretty solid voice cast. Yeah. The voice
I'm just curious to see if they got anyone.
The translation seems
that's always kind of the fun thing about the Studio Ghibli films is, like, they always get these, like, amazing celebrities for the voices.
Yeah, they actually do. I don't think it's anything. I don't think it's, like, a celeb-filled cast.
Well, Disney didn't foot the bill for this one.
No. But, I don't have anything bad to say about Ni No Kuni so far. It's just pretty freaking awesome.
Cool.
It is a magical adventure in a strange fantasy world. All right. But what are we talking about on the Google Plus page?
Well, I apologize. I forgot to put up, like, a specific show topic.
I've been talking to our fans.
You have been. There was a rousing discussion about what means emo. As far as Devil May Cry is concerned.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were funny.
Yeah, because, like, I guess the thing is, like, people just want to call anybody emo who has, like, unkempt black hair.
Yeah.
But that can mean a lot of things.
I don't know. Dante is very emo. If anything, he's just, like, cocky.
I often had unkempt black hair. If he was not emo.
If he was emo, well, he'd kind of be that kid from the beginning as he was in The World Ends With You, where he's just walking around going, ugh.
That kid is emo, right.
Yeah.
And it works, though, because, like, that's the whole point, is that he's emo.
Dante's not emo.
Right.
He's cocky.
Exactly.
There's some more talk about all the THQ stuff sparked by Alex Connolly. Talking about, like, how, you know, Saints Row went to Deep Silver, which Pete seemed to think was a good thing.
I still don't know where WWE is.
No, we haven't heard anything about that. Also, a lot of people are asking, like, what's going on with, like, Free Space and Homeworld, like, IPs that THQ, like, had, but weren't, like, active.
Yeah, you think...
What if we got, like, and someone's trying to do a Kickstarter for this, or an Indiegogo, I think, but, like, I don't know how they plan on making this work, but, like, to do a Homeworld 3. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to work, but what if somehow someone gets their hands on the Homeworld IP and makes Homeworld 3?
It could be, like, when Bethesda got the Fallout IP. They made Fallout 3.
Whoa.
I didn't literally mean Bethesda's... Well, maybe...
But wait a minute. What if Bethesda makes a sci-fi space RPG set in the Homeworld universe?
That would be pretty sweet, actually.
Oh,
it's kind of the one thing they haven't done yet, huh? They have their post-apocalyptic franchise. They have their fantasy franchise. They don't really have their sci-fi.
That'd be awesome. I mean, it's kind of nothing that what Homeworld is, but I mean, it is kind of a cool world. Maybe
it's a cool Homeworld.
Space. Hey-o.
All right, is that it?
Yeah, and you posted that Grim Fandango thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
You want to know what's coming out? Skulls of the Shogun. I want to get this.
See, I hear it's supposed to be good, but I'm kind of tactical, turn-based RPG'd out right now.
Well, it sounds like when you're playing it online, like in the asynchronous mode, it plays like Hero Academy, because you're limited to 5 moves per turn.
Yeah. That's cool.
The Windows 8 version, which we could both get, is $10.
Yeah.
Something called Dungeon Land for PC and Mac that looks amazing. Heavy Fire Shattered Spear. It's a sequel to Heavy Fire Afghanistan.
Oh.
The Hitman HD trilogy. I've never cared about that series.
Ditto.
Ratchet and Clank Full Frontal Assault for the Vita.
That's that tower defense game I was saying that no one liked.
Yeah, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transform for PC.
Hey, if you don't have...
Oh, I played the Vita demo for that game.
How was it?
Same exact game with fewer polygons and no shadows. Oh. But same game. I'm more curious to see what...
Shadow of the Hedgehog?
No. I'm more curious to see what the 3DS version looks like.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at at ebpodcast.com. Ooh. You can also follow us at our Google Plus page, at Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel, and at Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye. Bye.
Curse you, caca carrot cake.
That's from something.
Yeah, that's from Dragon Ball P or something, like Dragon Ball PP.
Oh.
You ever see that?
No.
Curse you, caca karma Electra. It's funny. AJ, I got a lot of problems, man. I mean, my wife left me. Nobody loves me. I got this shit job, and I don't have any audiobooks.
Well, I can help you out with one of those, Michael. How would you like not only an audiobook, but a free audiobook?
Tell me more.
If you go to audibletrial.com/ebpodcast, not only will you get a free audiobook, but a 1 month free trial to audible.com, where they have thousands of audiobooks available to listen to on your computer, iPod, or Android phone.
Wow, and is some of that revenue going to go to Exploding Barrel?
I sure hope so.
Wow, I feel slightly less like I need to kill myself.